You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. In addition to our premium courses on the Effective Statistician Academy, we also have lots of free resources for you across all kind of different topics within that academy. Head over to theeffectivestatistician.com and find the academy and much more for you to become an effective statistician. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the ever-growing video-on-demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Now let's talk a little bit about this term evidence for a moment. Yeah. So a good integrated evidence plan meets the needs of a variety of stakeholders. Yeah. That closes their knowledge gaps and helps them in their work. Now, when we as statisticians think about evidence, yeah, we think about the source data, maybe we think about summary statistics in a table or figure. Now, what is for you evidence that actually helps decision makers to, you know, make decisions within the organization as well as all the different external stakeholders that we talked about?
Oh, I looked at the head of medical affairs once, reminded me that beauty is always in the eye of the beholder when it comes to evidence. And of course, different stakeholders have different questions. Health authorities want to know, is this treatment safe and effective in the target patient population? Payers want to know, what value does the new treatment add in our patient population? But beyond authorities and payers, there are slightly different questions being asked. In clinical practice, people ask, which treatment will work best for my patient, for this patient sitting right here in my office? Yeah. And patients will ask, which treatment will work best for me? And if you notice the difference between these questions, is that these latter two in this post-marketing section are predictive. Mm-hmm. They're prediction problems and whereas payers and health authorities are working more at the population level. Yeah. Now, the population level can help to some extent predict what will happen with an individual patient, but it's within a very simplistic framework.
Yeah, well, you get the average of everybody.
Yeah, you assume you get the average of everybody, whereas, you know, these people want to know, am I making the right decision here? And so, you know, this can get a bit into decision science. This can get a bit into prediction. And this is where a lot of questions get asked and where a lot of questions get raised.
Yeah. And there will be also a lot of questions about data that you may not have collected for regulatory purposes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then the last thing is, just by having this data doesn't mean that it will actually be used. Yeah. So it not only needs to be there, it also needs to be there in the right format at the right time. Just like you can't just send over a bunch of tables to the FDA. Yeah. You need to adhere to their format. You need to write a report and integrated efficacy plan and all these kind of different things. Yeah. You need to do the same for payers. And you also need to provide it in a customized way for all the different local affiliates around the world. Yeah. So that they internally can work with it and as well externally.
So, and I think this is really important. We tend as statisticians to focus on producing outputs. And more recently, we focused on defining and addressing estimates. But clinicians need a little bit different format to see that the evidence is meeting their needs. And so they need a bit more of a direct link between research question and research answer. And specifically, not just the question that you studied, but the question that they have.
Yeah.
And how those two might or might not be related. So this is where scientific publications are really important. This is not just an academic dinosaur exercise. This is really important for clinicians. It's also important from a regulation perspective because a lot of marketing efforts are regulated based on the fact that the science has been peer-reviewed. If it's not in the label, it better be peer-reviewed before you discuss it among physicians.
Yep. And these regulations actually vary quite a lot locally. So if you're a statistician, what can you do to add value to the integrated evidence plan?
Number one thing you need to do is get to know your functional stakeholders and their needs. And I have some statisticians who will say, well, how do I do that if I'm not invited to the meeting? Well, that's the first step. You get the invitation to the meeting. You approach the medics who you probably know and you say, hey, I understand you're working on the integrated evidence plan. I think I could help. Could I come to your meeting? And they might very well tell you, well, we don't think we're going to be talking about statistics yet. And you should tell them, well, hey, but I'd like to learn. And I bet you're going to discuss some research questions and it would be really interesting to learn about and maybe participate in honing those research questions. I think the other thing that you really need to do as a statistician, assuming that you can get to the table, and we're very pushy, so we do, is help identify what are real evidence gaps. So the statistician needs to know what data are already out there, whether it's their companies or other companies. They need to know what evidence is already out there. They need to help teams select the right data sources based on their budgets, based on their research questions. They need to help with trade-off considerations. You know, how sure do you want to be in this answer? If you tell me you have 10,000 francs, you probably don't want to be very sure, but we can work with that. And also, how can we reduce complexity? Sometimes people come with very complex ideas that are unnecessarily complex, and we may be able to help them simplify, develop a research package that can be executed in the amount of time that they need.
Yeah, and all these things, if you can demonstrate that you can help with these things, then this will get you the ticket to these tables and these discussions. Because
absolutely,
then people will actually see, hey, it's quite nice to work with the statisticians.
So that's the other thing is when you show up, you have to be curious. You have to work on building relationships, and you cannot just sit quietly the whole time. You need to be an active participant. You need to take notes. You need to connect the dots and present ideas. Now, it's not going to be a simple one-and-done exercise, and I would say that there is, to many people's surprise, just as much, if not more, discussion before finalizing a research plan in the launch and life cycle space versus the clinical development plan space. But without building those relationships, you are left with the autopsy in the end.
Yeah. And so you can help people understand, okay, you can get this type of evidence from this study. You can't get that type of evidence from those studies. If they say, oh, yeah, we want to have real-world evidence about our product compared to the others, By the way, we actually don't run an observational study, and for claims databases, we'll not have any efficacy variables in there, and definitely not any patient-reported outcomes in there. And by the way, it will actually take a couple of years after launch if that we get enough patients there. And we will also not get comparative data from a single-arm observational study. Yeah. So helping people to understand what they can get with which tools for what price at which time is absolutely critical. And this is something that nobody can do as well as statisticians. However, yes, of course, that requires you to be open-minded about more analysis than just phase three predictive confirmatory analysis. Yeah. So that's
totally. Yeah. I also think, again, depending on the size of your organization, you may be able to, as a statistician, enlist some help from your PCOR statistician, from your patient-reported outcome statistician, from a real-world data scientist. You may be able to come with, you know, a three-person strong team to be able to say, here are the advantages of these different approaches. What would you like?
Yeah.
You know, giving people pros and cons so that they have a choice in what they do, but they really need to understand what they're choosing is something that statisticians and data scientists are well practiced at. And it really is to your advantage to do that in integrated evidence planning. It helps you with avoiding duplication. It helps you come up with robust evidence plans where you don't have to get red-faced with what's out there in the marketplace.
Yeah. And I love the points that you talk about. Connect with your fellow other quantitative scientists. Yeah, they may sit in all kind of different departments, at local level, at a regional, at a global level. They may sit in the health outcome department or in the PRO department, however these departments are called within your organization. So it's really, really super important to work with these. And one other thing, sometimes they actually don't work in your company, but on the vendor side. Yeah? Because lots of these things are outsourced completely to vendors. And then having their good relationship helps quite a lot as well.
Absolutely. Because again, they may see more than what's going on at your own company. And so they may have some interesting insights to provide if you can include them in the discussion. Of course, you have to manage the risks yourself, but it can be really interesting and also important when you're in a room with 20 physicians to have three or four data scientists present who can come up with the pros and cons of various approaches together.
Absolutely. So when you think about when you are, for example, now talking to someone that works mostly on the regulatory side, yeah, and is mostly concerned with FDA, EMA approval, and so on, what would you tell these persons about the integrated evidence plan? Because, you know, they are mostly concerned with a clinical development plan, which is a sub-plan. Why do they need to know about all the other things, and how can they help with these other things, or why should they actually care?
A great question, and one I have had to address countless times over the last decade. And what I would simply say is this. In a perfect world, first to market, there's no competitors. You have a very simple dosing administration and a very effective drug that works in most patients that has no safety signals to speak of. And as I said, you're first to market. And the FDA's decision is easy. The EMA's decision is easy. Payers are so glad to have a treatment option. There's no standard of care and the drug sells itself. And that's lovely. And that's just not the environment we're in. We're in the better than the Beatles situation, where there is usually a standard of care, except in very rare diseases. There are competitors working on the same MOA frequently, on the same mechanism of action frequently, And it's really hard to say who is going to be first. And maybe they all get health authority approval, but how do you persuade people to pay for and use your drug? And how do you make sure that it benefits patients? We statisticians tend to be very snobby about marketing, but we do want patients to benefit from our work if our medicines really work. And that's why you should care. You should care about what evidence these other stakeholders need in order for your drug to get to patients. And that's why it is worth spending some hours at the integrated evidence planning table, talking about what evidence we have and listening to stakeholders to find out what additional evidence is needed.
Yeah. And I know people working in that space are very often quite busy. Yeah. Especially at the time when work around the integrated evidence plan also piles up. Yeah, so kind of this, let's say, 1 year before data readout of, you know, your first phase three study or whatever, you know, around these kind of times. Yeah, you are probably quite busy to making sure that you have all the ducks in a row for your submission thing. And then also these meetings come up about, you know, speaking about the German affiliates wants and what the Canadians wants and why there's additional things that Japan and China and Korea and whoever wants, you know? And maybe you think like, I really don't have time for that. Well, okay, but then at least bring in another statistician that has capacity and knowledge about all these different areas. And sets your colleagues up for success. It is about all the statisticians working together here effectively to make this change and to have that impact.
Nobody wants to file a drug that doesn't get used.
Yeah.
And I think that is the most specific example that I can give is that nobody wants to file a drug that patients won't ever receive. And so it is worth it to figure out how to divide up the work so that statisticians and data scientists are at the table to help with prioritizing and identifying needs and addressing them.
And the better you work together there, the better it will be, yeah. And both sides, people that work on the regulatory side and people that work on the post-approval side, can benefit from learning from each other. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And these are connections that will help you in every area of your work to be remembered as a useful statistician, as an effective statistician even, that you helped with the research question, that you helped generate a design that was useful to them. And they'll even forgive you when the research doesn't get approved or doesn't get canceled or doesn't pan out the way they expected. The results are disappointing. What they remember is that you were there and that you listened and that you gave your scientific best to their problem.
And also be available for all the things that is around the communication aspect later. Yeah. Help with publications, help with the education around these publications. Set up your colleagues for success. That is a very, very important thing.
You know, that's something that late phase statisticians talk about a lot is not just being statisticians, but being drug developers. And that is still important in the post-marketing space. It's really understanding the entire drug development process, being able to explain the evidence to other people who will in turn explain it to customers, and being able to design the new evidence. So there's just as much need to be a drug developer in the post-marketing space as there is in the pre-marketing space.
Yes. Now, maybe that was quite overwhelming for you. Yeah. All these kind of different things. And, you know, we touched on high level on lots of these different topics in terms of all these different plans, the communication plans, the real-world evidence plans, the clinical development plan, and so on. Yeah, it's quite complex. Now, what can a person that works in this area, yeah, irrespective of whether they work on as a contractor, at the CRO side, or within the pharma companies, what can they do to become better in that medical affairs space?
I think relationship building is a big part of it. If you don't know what your stakeholders' needs are from talking to them, you don't really know. You can read all the papers in the world, and that can absolutely generate some insights about what your competitors are doing. But if you don't know what your medical or commercial counterparts think about that, you may head in the wrong direction. So building relationships is a big, big part of what it means to be an effective collaborator in this space.
Absolutely. The other thing is learn from other statisticians that already have experience. And here's the launch and life cycle SIG that I talked about at the start of this episode is a great place. There's lots of very experienced people from all kinds of different companies. And I love the atmosphere of sharing insights, sharing experiences, sharing best practices from these different people.
And, you know, that was, of course, a big motivating factor for us forming this SIG. And I think certainly that is what has kept it going, is the fact that there are a lot of non-competitive conversations that we can have about how to be more effective in this space by sharing our concerns and realizing that we all share them. We can figure out solutions to problems. We can figure out, you know, how to address concerns about running single-arm trials when there's the opportunity to do more. We can talk about when real-world data should be used and when real-world data is just not available, and how to convert real-world data into evidence and not just more piles of data.
And last but not least, if you want to dive even deeper into this, we also have a program for people working in that space. So if you're interested about learning more about the launch and life cycle space, check out the Effective Statistician Academy, and there's also support there that can help you in that space, both from the leadership aspect that we talked about, the influencing aspects, there's the leadership program, and there's also specifically the launch and life cycle program that Jenny and I have designed that will give you support to be more effective in that area. So with that, thanks so much, Jenny, for all the discussions about the integrated evidence plan. Last thing is, where will you talk about this next so that people can learn more about it?
Have anything yet? So we'll see. Okay. Thank you very much, though.
Okay. Let's see. I'll definitely also be at the PSI conference. Yeah. And so if you want to meet me there, then definitely reach out and we can have a chat about these kind of different things.
We'll talk about evidence generation at upcoming conferences in Basel in September. So keep your eyes open.
Yes. So that is CFS by regulatory workshops. That will be awesome as well. I'll be there.
Definitely recommend that conference for a variety of reasons. It's a fantastic opportunity to interact with academia, with industry, with regulators, and really tackle strategic discussion in an interesting environment.
And for very, very reasonable price, by the way. So,
absolutely.
Okay. So happy to connect with you in face-to-face situations like these conferences, or just connect on LinkedIn. And we are also very, very happy to have you as a new member of the Gentle Lifecycle SIG. So these were lots of call to actions. There's one thing, if you don't know what we all talked about, just go to theeffectivestatistician.com and you say you'll find the links to all these kind of different things that we talked about. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS who helped with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.